Free is a zero tobacco nicotine pouch designed for people who want a simple, hassle-free way to enjoy nicotine without smoke, vapor, or the smell. Everything about Free is engineered for ease, fast flavor, fast effect, and fast delivery straight to your door. The strength range goes from 3 milligrams all the way up to 15 milligrams, so whether you're looking for something on the lighter side or you want maximum strength, they've got you covered. Flavors, mint, wintergreen, watermelon, which is new, plus lush, sweet, and original. Enough variety that picking a flavor feels like picking a mood. Available in single tins, mega packs, and bundles for those who like to commit. The pouches come pre-primed, so flavor and effect hit instantly. No waiting around. They're soft, flexible, sit comfortably, and the whole setup is discreet. Compact tins, zero smoke, zero vapor, perfect for meetings, commutes, or just getting through the day. You can get your instant delivery straight to your door or pick them up whenever you normally get your nicotine. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off their order at freepouch.com. That's F-R-E pouch.com with promo code LISTEN20. That's freepouch.com, F-R-E pouch.com, and use promo code LISTEN20 to get 20% off today. F-R-E, free. Strength you can count on.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit, and remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. This is the ZabeCast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Wednesday, December 17, 2025. Thank you for downloading, and we have a great double guest episode today of the ZabeCast. I don't want to say who's coming up, although you probably read in the show notes. Not going to keep it secret in the show notes, actually. And then our usual weekly visit with Charch, but a special guest before that coming up in just a few minutes. Email, you can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. Charlie Zulu Alpha Bravo Echo at yahoo.com. Bill Beck says, I'm a Razorback fan, Zabe, and sadly, Petrino's side piece was indeed his underling. He hired her and put her on staff. Ms. Durrell had graduated as a volleyball player, and that he hired her to be the student-athlete coordinator for the football program. Even gave her $20,000 for Christmas. Aw, Merry Christmas. The athletic director at Arkansas, Jeff Long, went on to hold a presser stating that Bobby Petrino had deceived him about their relationship. He was applauded by the media at the time for his integrity goes a long way mantra, and he parlayed it into being the first chairman of the college football playoff committee. Since the accident, Razorback football has been figuratively and literally in the ditch. See what I did there? The difference between he and Sherrone Moore is that Petrino did not commit a crime when it all came flying apart. Allegedly, Moore cannot say the same. Maybe Andy needs to be reminded about that fact. Merry Christmas and woo pig, Billy B. in Charleston, South Kakalaki. Andy Braun emails about the Anthony Richardson orbital fracture. You mentioned the orbital fracture for Richardson during a pod last week, and it's curious that he suffered it using a warm-up band. More curious is that the veteran DB on the team also missed that same game with a, quote, concussion suffered in pregame warm-ups. I think Charch mentioned the baseball player who suffered a boxer's fracture of his hand due to a luggage mishap. That was actually Jonathan Lucroy of the Milwaukee Brewers. Another fun fact on that one, Brewers pitcher Randy Wolf suffered a facial injury that same day. The two notoriously did not get along. Lucroy never caught Wolf the rest of the season. I don't know if there's a connect. As I recall, the DB for the Colts got his concussion colliding into another player during warmups. So any conspiracy that it was a fight between Richardson and the DB, I have not heard that one yet. But I'm open to a good conspiracy, just I have not heard it yet. This one from Keith Wiselli. Zabe, Mendoza will not be your first dork superstar. In your session with Andy yesterday, you said that Mendoza is the first dork superstar. In reality, he very much resembles Andrew Luck, another quarterback with Indiana ties, having played for the Colts before retiring well earlier than people thought he would. Anyway, keep up the good work, Keith, in the 317. I think Peyton Manning was a bit of a dork, but we now know that he's an absolute gangsta. And by the way, it wasn't just Clemens who blamed the steroids being for his wife when he was caught. I'm pretty sure he did that. It was also Peyton Manning who absolutely blamed the steroids that had been tracked to be going to his house on his wife. Now, he's recovering from, you know, neck fusion surgery to play a couple more years. Hence the nickname Old Lego Neck. But, yeah, this is why. When I hear Joe Burrow talking like he does and people speculating, like he might be ready to retire, I got zero respect. The guys that love the game, whether it's Brady or Rodgers now or Manning, they play to the last drop because they love it. And, you know, Burrow can do what he wants, but I don't respect it per se. It doesn't do much for me. I'm not ripping him for it, but I'm just like, all right, well, you quit football. Best thing you ever had going. Why? Because your foot hurt? Because you're too rich? Because you're tired of working out? Okay. The origin of the Hail Mary. Trent W. writes to say, Zabe enjoyed the segment on the origin of the Hail Mary, at least with the term by Staubach and Pearson against the Vikings, but that was a simple heave to a single wide receiver going deep. It was not the play that we now know today as the Hail Mary. As I best remember, the idea of putting a bunch of wide receivers on one side of the field and having them all run into the end zone together and heave it was first used by the Atlanta Falcons, and they called it their Big Ben play. No, not after Big Ben Roethlisberger. He had probably not been born by then. It was the Steve Bartkowski era, and I seem to remember a wideout named Alfred Jackson involved in the early plays. Andy likely remembers this better than either of us, as he's very much older and remembers these kind of things. Loyal listener and subscriber, Trent W. Thank you, Trent. I appreciate that for subscribing. Yes, I also was sent a clip of how the Vikings were able to go to they secured their division, I believe, or their conference with a win against the Browns when they're down 15 in the last 4 minutes of the game or something ridiculous like that. This is before the two-point conversion. And they did it in part with a Hail Mary of their own 1 year after they had been burned by Staubach and Pearson, in which the Viking player didn't even jump for the ball. He just sort of laid back and lurked behind. And afterwards he said, look, I knew that if I jumped, I probably wouldn't get it. But when everyone's jumping, the ball is going to bounce somewhere. The ball will usually not be caught clean on a Hail Mary in a group of hands at the high point. That's a great... It's a great little tip right there. Never thought of it that way. Just lay back a little bit. Be ready to scoop the ball up one way or the other. This one from Chris Gerard. Dear Zabe, great episode with your movie guy about all the Christmas specials and movies. Thank you. I got a lot of positive feedback. One negative feedback. It's okay. Can't please everybody. All credit goes to Charles Schulz for choosing the perfect biblical passage for a Charlie Brown Christmas special. It's a hopeful, uplifting message that is palatable to non-religious people. Not preachy at all. And for a long time, I didn't fully understand the event regarding the angels that Linus is talking about. I had no idea. On the night of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, the angel Gabriel appeared to a shepherd boy. Not to a king or an important person, he appeared to a poor person, an unknown. And then a host of angels, meaning thousands, appeared to the whole group of shepherds in that area. And they made their proclamation and began to sing. I mean, this is something so unbelievable, so magnificent, it boggles the mind. All the shepherds then did was went to where Mary and Joseph were to see the baby. You got to see the baby. This is how the news of Christ's birth was delivered. Thousands of angels singing to a group of poor shepherds. I, like you, Zabe, am not particularly religious, but damn, what an inspiring thing. Linus, you nailed it. Chris Gerard, Cincinnati, Ohio. Well said, Chris. I couldn't have done it better myself. Unbelievable. He is finally back, everybody. The prodigal son. My favorite part of the morning show that is no longer for me, but he's still doing it with the boys. Scott Dolphin, Mr. Iowa Nice, is joining me on the Zabecast. Hi, dude. Dolph. How are you?
Hi, Zabe. Yeah, we miss you. We miss you around these parts.
Oh, I miss you guys badly, but I'm glad that you're carrying on into the uncertain radio night.
Yeah, the boys, you know, Billy and Armin are still flying the flag in the morning, mostly, you know, around the state, not so much in Milwaukee anymore, unless they want to play Christmas music. But yeah, we're still at it.
Yeah, and you can listen to Billy and Armin do the show via YouTube. They also stream via X, and it's available online, I want to say.
That sounds right. I mean, I'm such a little part, you know, I'm there for 23 minutes, but it's always enjoyable.
And Luddy, of course. I miss Luddy behind the glass, so... Hope everyone is well.
Yeah, Luddy's Mr. Everything. He's here day. I was here Friday night for a radiothon that we did. Luddy was here at like 9 o'clock.
Damn, love it. Okay, so here we are, Dolph. Bears Packers week, and it is all frothing to a head. It's so funny that last year I would not let you up when it came to ragging you about Caleb Williams. And with every week that goes by, I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, boy. Oh, it looks like he's figuring shit out. And more importantly, has competent coaching, finally.
He does. Yeah, Ben Johnson knows that he's gifted. He's a kid that, well, it came up Sunday. I don't know how he made the throw that he did to DJ Moore in the midst of three Cleveland defenders. And Ben Johnson said, yeah, I used to tell him, don't do that. But with Caleb, he can do that. And they asked Caleb, and Caleb said, oh, I can make any throw.
Well, that's...
And so, yeah, it's just who he is. He's got a rocket for an arm. Now, are there moments he'd like to have back? Sure. Look at the Packer game from Lambeau Field where Cole Kmet was open. And you, as you were quick to point out to me in text, so was DJ Moore underneath.
I know. But he's getting better. He's got proper coaching. And the physical traits that were what intoxicated everybody are showing through more and more. The dude is a big, rangy, athletic dude with a cannon for an arm. And fingernails that are painted. For whatever
reason. Has fingernails that are painted. That's part of his charm. But, you know, he's what is he? He's 6'3". He's a kid that can fire it. He's got Houdini-like escape ability, as we've seen throughout this season. I don't know how that happens, but a lot of it starts up front, Zabe. I mean, reconstructing that offensive line has been the world to this Bears offense. He was sacked 67 times last year, even though he's big, gifted, and has that escape ability. This year, not so much. He's going down about 1.5 times per game.
Well, a lot of those sacks were because he was a rookie. Sacks are very much a quarterback stat. When they don't realize you're out of time, nobody's open, flush it, and live another day. It took him a while to figure that out, and he's now figuring it out a lot more. So it's so funny, Dolph, that I'm ragging you about this time last year, trying to make you admit you picked the wrong guy, because Jaden Daniels was on a rocket ship ride with the Commanders. Here we are a year later. You got Caleb ready to play the biggest game of his career so far and possibly put the NFC North in a headlock. Like, if the Bears win, it's what? What is their percentage chances to win? Have you calculated that?
It's 70% right now, so I think it would jump to between 80 and 90 if they were to win.
Okay, that's a
just to make the playoffs.
Oh, just the playoffs. Okay, well, I'm just talking about the division. A win puts the division in a big-ass headlock for the Bears. Granted, you got some tough games to finish, though. You know that.
Yeah, they have to go to San Francisco. And they've got a game that I'm going to, the final game of the year against Detroit.
Right. And who knows Detroit might be playing with a X next to their name. Or what's the good letter? What's the bad? Z. Z is like eliminated, right? X is clinched a playoff berth. I don't know. There's like X, Y, and Z. But either way, it's amazing how the turntables have ... Michael Scott. Because the talk here in Washington is, I don't know, man. Jaden Daniels needs to play. He's not playing good this year. His scramble rate is up. His completion percentage is down. He's not seeing guys that are clearly open. One year later, Dolph. Boy, things
are different. I don't get that. I don't understand that with Jaden Daniels. We all know what he can do. The kid was unbelievable. I mean, you looked through every game last year, including the meltdown the Bears had and the shocking win in Detroit in the playoffs. The talent is there. I think a lot of that has to do with the injury, doesn't it? Is he a little gun shy after what he went through?
Maybe. Yeah. Sort of. I don't know. Like, that's the great mystery about quarterbacks.
It is.
Now, for as right as you may turn out to be, Dolph, about your boy, the fingernail painter, you got to admit you were dead wrong about Justin Fields. You hung on to your Justin Fields stock and wrote it right to zero.
I still think they pulled the plug too early on that.
Yeah, did you not watch any Jet games this year?
He's my guy. Where's he going to? He's going to be a starting quarterback somewhere next year.
Justin Fields? No.
Yeah.
No, Dolph, he's not. So. No, Justin Fields will never be QB1 ever again. He'll be QB2 that they hold their they cover their eyes and go, please, we don't want to play him. Please, we don't want to play him. He's a nice guy, works hard, athletic enough, but can't play the position. And the funny thing is, you never quite know about any of these quarterbacks, right?
No, it's the NFL. It's big boy football. It's such a jump. You hear these guys all the time saying, I had no clue. I knew they were going to be bigger, faster, and stronger in the NFL. I had no clue how much bigger, faster, and stronger they would be jumping from the Big Ten or the SEC to the next level.
Right. So I got a couple of clips I want to share with you and show you here. This first one is amazing because it's the throw to DJ Moore last week. All right, there is the side-by-side. You can see that, right?
Yeah, with Dwight.
So it's the Clark. It's the iconic Joe Montana against the Cowboys NFC Championship game,
81.
81, thank you, Dolph. 81, where he's rolling right, buying time, backpedaling, and then finds a crossing Dwight Clark across the back of the end zone who skies for the catch over a defender. And there's a back of the end zone shot you see right there. And look at the symmetry of the highlights right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a hell of a throw. The biggest one in Joe Montana's career, even though it wasn't even in a Super Bowl. And Dwight Clark comes out of nowhere to get it.
But the difference, okay, and this is a compliment to your boy, look at the yard lines. Montana throws it from the 14.
Yeah.
Caleb throws it from damn near the 30.
Yeah, and you also had three Browns defenders in front of him on that throw.
Right.
Which he had to thread the needle, and he did, and he put such zip on it.
Threw it at the 28 off balance, and then Moore comes just flying into the picture there to make the catch. I mean, that's a fucking banger of a highlight. I know that I would be excommunicated by the House of Cheese if I were to say this on the air, to say anything at all complimentary about a stinking bear. But as a sports fan and an aesthetic who loves sports for its beauty, that's beautiful shit right there, isn't it?
Oh, I always enjoy, you know, like on the national telecast, that it was Kevin Kugler and Moose Johnson. They were both stunned and shocked. I always love it when those guys see something great every week, when they're like, how did he make that throw?
Right. Then there's this. you know, when you're trying to save money on, you know, concessions, I guess you do it however you can. Somebody said, I didn't know it was bring spaghetti to the ball game day at Soldier Field.
Look at the goggles.
This woman, I think it's a woman, is eating spaghetti out of a Ziploc with a fork and ski goggles on.
And anything to keep you warm, man.
I guess so. Now, do you heat that spaghetti up somehow? I don't know how you do it in your car. Maybe put it up on the dashboard where the heater is going full blast. Get it as hot as you can prior to leaving your car. And then you shove it into your, you know, coat, whatever, close to your body. Let your body heat keep the spaghetti in the Ziploc as warm as possible. And then as soon as you're situated in your seat, enjoy your spaghetti.
That's the only way to keep it warm. I guess you could. No, because it's an NFL game. You can't bring in a cooler.
No,
so that's the only way she could have done that.
Right. That's the only way she could keep it warm. But still, it's wow. It's something else. And then you got to try to drink your soda real quick. This was the other video that went viral from Soldier Field. And it was a guy's whose soda at Soldier Field froze almost instantly the moment he opened it. Here it is right here. And let's play it for you. Okay, opens it up.
Oh, it's already freezing.
And it's already here comes the little ice tentacles right there, because it was about, what, 10 degrees or so? Now, you know the funniest thing about this viral video? It's not that people are going, wow, it's frozen. They're saying, RC Cola?
I know.
The bears are so fucking cheap. They've got RC as their official soda.
That's what you see in Huntsville, Alabama,
yes,
at a high school game, is RC Cola.
RC Cola. Talk about Royal poverty Crown cola. But if you get a good deal on it, and I guess the city of Chicago did, they're like, yep, you're our partner. I joked to my boy Armin, who's a big bear hater and soda fan. I said, I guess they couldn't afford Shasta's pricing.
Or what we have here in Wisconsin for years, Jolly Good. That was always the off-brand soda you'd buy it, you get a case for like $2.99.
Right, right.
RC.
So how many games have you been to this year?
I've only been to one this year. Unfortunately, you were here. It was the disappointing Vikings Monday night game, the opening game.
Dude, and I laughed my ass off because you guys played like dog shit.
Yeah, and melted down.
Total meltdown, and I was in the full mode of Bears are going to be the Bears. And since then, it's been a little better and a little better. When if our good gets better, our better gets best, right? As Coach Johnson says.
What's that quote from? And was that a movie that he's dragging that? Or was that an old piece of poetry or something that somebody famous had written back in the day?
I'm looking it up
good
right
get
now.
Better.
Ben Johnson,
better get
quote,
best.
Better get best origin. The quote, good, better, best, never let it rest till your good gets better and your better gets best. He learned it in high school from Coach Bobby Poss, P-O-S-S, okay. Not Bobby Ross, who coached Georgia Tech a long time ago.
And Army, I think, didn't he at one point?
He Bobby did, Ross? yes. And he learned it from Richard Bell, just a constant, a mantra about continuous improvement in sports and life, emphasizing striving for excellence by constantly building on what's good.
What did you think of the shirtless Ben Johnson a couple weeks ago?
I mean, he's ripped. He's, for a coach, he's in great shape. Now, I've seen coaches that were pretty trim over the years. Eventually, all of them get fat because they're sitting in the office at 3 in the morning on a Wednesday night going over film, and they're ordering out. But maybe Ben Johnson keeps it trim. I don't know. Obviously, the players loved it. I think you guys lost the following week, though, to the Packers, right? Yeah, you lost to the Packers the following week.
Yep.
And so these shirtless celebrations are all fun and games until you lose the next week and you look like shit. And you're like, okay, I guess the taking the shirt off thing is over now.
That's all right, though. Everybody got a free hot dog at the Wiener Circle because he took his shirt off.
I did see that, yeah. So I just want to know, after this long stretch of ineptitude by your beloved Bears, are you nervous going into this game against the Packers, excited, or somewhere in the middle?
You know me, Zabe. I'm always in the middle, and I'm a realist. And also, this is house money, right? They weren't supposed to be this good this year. I think 9 wins would have been expected. And then after the Lions hung 52 on them in week 2, I'm thinking this team might be another 5-win team. Well, they always say teams under new coaches get better as the season goes on. And here we are in December, and I'm happy, man. I think the sky's the limit. It would not shock me to see this team go to the NFC Championship game. I don't think they're quite good enough to get to a Super Bowl right now, simply because the NFC is off the hook, right? I mean, my God, how many teams? You could lose one game this weekend and be out of the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, look, there's no super teams, and if you're sitting in the one spot, which I don't know what it's going to take for you guys to get the one spot, it might be a little hard.
If the Rams lose this weekend, and they might go to, do they have Seattle? I'm not sure. And if the Bears beat the Packers, they're back in the one spot.
Okay. You know, if you're in the one spot, it's a two-hop scotch deal. It's two games. Yeah. You wait, you get healthy for a week. Hopefully you don't stub your toe in that first divisional round game, and then you're hosting the championship game.
Yeah, yeah. And which would be similar to the last time they went to the Super Bowl, which was, the 2007 season, something like that. But they haven't won a playoff game in almost 15 years. So there's a lot stacked against them.
And the rivalry is good when the teams are both good. And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? I mean, that game Sunday, I texted you before and I said, I just want this game to be close just to live up to the hype. And at halftime, I was ready to go salt my driveway because it was, they just had no semblance of an offense. And then, you know, all of a sudden, opening kickoff third quarter, I'm thinking, here we go, man, we got a shot in this thing. Right. So yeah, it's such a great rivalry when both teams are good.
All right. Here's your Ben Johnson shirtless. By the way, I'm a sucker for all of these locker room videos that the team's social media produces. We used to never really get to see this kind of stuff because this is a sacred place, Dolph. This is the den of manhood. These men striving and fighting and having their bodies smashed to pieces to play for a game, you know? And they're like, after a victory, they're like, yeah, we all did it. From the biggest, fattest lineman to the teeny tiniest little kicker who hopefully does not miss his kick, Eddie Pinheiro.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
And then here's old Ben Johnson. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. Do you think LaFleur would ever do anything like that? Pretty boy LaFleur.
I'm surprised he hasn't. He has a very professional demeanor, but you could tell the fire he's got burning in him. And I think he'd probably look pretty good with his shirt off. A man can say that about another man here in 2025.
Right. He's kind of a smaller fella, though. I'm sure he looks trim under there, but I don't know if he'd be the kind of guy that rips his shirt off.
He played D1 football, right? I mean,
yes.
And some professional football, I believe, Arena League. Ben Johnson, kind of a meteoric rise through the coaching ranks. I want to say he was with the Dolphins. Does that sound right? And then his meteoric rise in Detroit, and then boom, and here he is.
Yeah. So anyway, what else is shaking for you, my friend, as we reconnect and get ready for hopefully an epic game on Saturday night? Saturday night, for those who are unaware, this game has been flexed Ben Johnson style to Saturday night.
And this is your chance to make fun of me like you were several weeks ago when you and Butch was at Kohl's that day, I believe. That's our Dolphin family Christmas that day.
Oh, no! No, not possible!
The TV
not
will be on.
Possible!
But it's also Dolphin family Christmas that day.
So
I had to turn down tickets to the games, Dave. My buddy Russ, my golfing buddy Russ, who's a Bears season ticket holder, invited me to the game a long time ago. I had to turn him down. So as a consolation prize, he's taken me to the Detroit game right after the New Year at Soldier Field.
That, you know, Dolph, I know you're all about family and the holidays, but I just want to say that is number one bullshit, that you're going to a party instead of watching this game.
I'm glad I could tee that up for you.
This is number one bullshit. Number one bullshit.
Yeah. I was disappointed somebody didn't invite me to Green Bay last weekend, but it didn't happen. That's usually your job.
Dolph, you and I and Josh and Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV went and saw a Bears-Packers game at Lambeau Field. And I thought it would be one of many, as hopefully what we were doing would continue long into the future. But, you know, this business radio is very, 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 very fickle. And so I'm just glad we had that game together. And I'm glad we had the game down at Soldier Field with me, you, Silly Rob, and my boy Gerdsy, my banger supplier. Yeah. Even though we were mean to you when the Bears collapsed, and we did leave early, and we watched it unfold and unravel in the car ride back up 94, glad we had those 2 days.
Yeah, same. Yeah, awesome time. The trip to Chicago was epic. I found out how old I really was that night when we're clubbing it at, 11.
Oh,
and I'm just like, oh, my God.
Clubbing it. That club was so depressing. But the dinner was great. We had an outrageous dinner at some very expensive steakhouse downtown. I forget the name of it.
I still remember my tomahawk steak that I had.
Oh, good stuff. All right, fuck the Bears. Good luck on watching a glimpse of it at the family party. Will there be a TV on anywhere?
Everywhere. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you'll catch it. You're just not going to be hunkered down in front of the TV, and you will not be in attendance.
So I've made some contract negotiations with my wife. We do things. So this is actually our Christmas Eve celebration because we're going to be traveling over the 25th. I said, can we do it? Can we do stuff earlier? Like we play family bingo and can we get some of the game time festivities out of the way before kickoff? Because most of us there want to be watching the game. I think she's going to cave. I've already got her to have the TVs on, which is a big deal.
Yeah,
I've really gotten her into football this year, Zabe.
Not a football fan otherwise?
She's always been a casual fan. She grew up in Colorado, so the Broncos have always been her team. But I've gotten her into the Bears stuff this year. And the day before the Packers-Bears game, she's a principal at a school here in Milwaukee. She wore a Bears sweater to school and took major heat. So she's coming around. She's coming around.
Wonderful ditty. Come on, Dolph, sing it.
Bear down, Chicago Bears. Up the might, fight for a might so fearlessly. We'll never forget the way you thrilled the nation with your team formation. Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Funniest stuff.
Lone one.
Crown. There we go.
You're the pride and joy of Illinois. Chicago Bears.
My non-football watching daughter, Megan, said, oh, I kind of like the logo for the Bears. And I said, yeah, it's classic. It's iconic. It's lasted through the years. I then told her, I said, you know, they once had a mascot that NFL Films mic'd up. And she goes, shut up. I showed her that video. She damn near peed her pants.
You sent that to me. I still show it to all my Bears friends, and they laugh their ass off, especially the part where he's looking for high fives as the team's coming on the field and nobody's paying any attention to him.
Yeah, because the guy that was in the suit, like, worked at O'Hare in their, their luggage department. And he said, you know, I respect the guys, and they respect what I do. And I just laughed going, the players don't respect.
And then he's openly criticizing the team too. They're playing the Eagles, and he's like, "What the hell are you? Come on,
come on!
Who did that? Who threw that ball?
Who did that? Just get right." Couldn't see anything. All right,
awesome,
Dolph. I'll talk to you later, buddy. Carry on. Thanks, good luck, man. To your Bears. Thanks. See you, bud.
Go Bears. Go Pack.
Yeah. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
I have a list of questions for Charge about the NFL as it currently stands that if you printed them out, a show dog couldn't jump over the stack of papers.
It is true.
In fact, when I gave Charge a preview of the questions, which I normally don't like to do, I like to keep it fresh for the air, like to keep the powder fresh. When I sent the list, Charge's only response was, OMG. It's a lot of questions. A lot of good questions, too. A lot of hypotheticals.
Yes. This is... listen, if we were to actually hit all of your talking points, this would be a three-ish hour podcast.
Well, we could certainly extend it to that. We're not going to, though. And before we get into the questions, hi, Charge, how are you? I wanted to pick up on something that we burned off air real quick. I asked you, so, how's the house? Is it all, the new house, is it all Christmas-ified? And your answer is?
Not a single thing up. Not one.
Oh, now, my
Scrooge. We left Minnesota. We did sell off or give away about half of our Christmas stuff, including our tree. But now, you know, I'm an empty nester now. My kid's in college. So I don't feel like there's some weird obligation to put it up. And I don't think that makes me grinchy. I don't think that means that I'm not filled with Christmas cheer. It just means I don't want to put a bunch of shit up and take it all down. And I don't want to, I don't know, man.
Because who's going to see it?
I don't know.
Right?
Just
who's going to enjoy it? Right. How many guests could you possibly have over for how many parties to warrant the time, expense, and hassle of putting it all up?
I'm not that popular here, Zabe. I mean, back in Minnesota, we were holding parties every other night. It was, you know, mostly a lot of drinking, but now it's, I don't know that many people here. I can't host. Who would I have over?
Yeah.
Are you willing to fly out? Would you care? If you walked into my house right now, you flew out here and you looked at my house, you were like, and you saw no Christmas stuff. Would you think any differently of me?
No, it's okay. I understand it. Because I am feeling the pangs with a 26-year-old daughter and a 23-year-old daughter who are still both in the house. The 23-year-old's going to be moving out soon. They're not the 26, though. But Christmas is for kids. It's for the kids. And therefore, yes, once your kids get older, if they don't get to chop-chop making grandbabies, so you can have that cycle one more time, then Christmas doesn't hold the same kind of emotional punch that it once did. And it's sad. So you opting out of it entirely in a new high desert, lovely home with your beautiful wife and no kids is a logical thing to do. I'm fine with it.
And God, you know, Christmas meant so much to me as a kid. I don't know about you, Zay, but yeah, you know, we grew up in a very modest household. The idea of having presents dropped on you, I mean, you know, I got stuff out of nowhere two times a year. Not out of nowhere. I mean, it's Christmas and birthday. And other than that, I didn't get a bunch of stuff. You know, nobody just like showed up and went, hey, here's toys, here's games. You know, it didn't work that way. Christmas was a big, big deal. I had the list of stuff that I was asking for. I would reprioritize the list. I would change it over the course of the fall into winter. Like, you know, got to move this thing up, got to move this thing down, basically having fantasy drafts with all my stuff, where you could get it. I mean, Christmas was a big deal. I watched all the TV shows. I mean, you know, watching the Peanuts Christmas stuff, watching Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, all those classics. Those were big things to me. That meant Christmas was near. I loved it as a kid. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I mean, what were we going to get? A Fran Tarkenton jersey? A Carl Eller cookbook. You gotta get a Paul Krause kicking tea. You know, back in the day, you had Christmases. Now it's different.
Well, yes. Now I did ask for. I think it was Super Toe. Wasn't that his name?
Yes.
The kicker where you'd hit him on the head and then the leg would shoot out. And he'd kick the ball. I did ask for that one year. Did not get it, but I did ask for that one year.
So you never owned a Super Jock. Super Toe, Super Jock, because they made other ones that shot basketballs, that shot hockey pucks. They had a whole line of them. I had most of them because I, as a kid, loved it. Yeah, my brother broke my Super Jock, Super Toe, because in trying for a living room record 63-yarder, he hit the head of the Super Jock so hard, it split the helmet. And then no longer really kicked the ball with any kind of oomph.
There's a parable for that, right? You needed to hit it hard enough that you could hit the long distance, the Brandon Aubrey of super toes, whatever.
Right.
But you couldn't hit him so hard that you broke him. That was the thing we broke one year. Do you remember Stretch Armstrong?
Had Stretch Armstrong.
Did you ever actually get enough break people him. That pulled violently enough to pull the limbs off Stretch Armstrong?
To quarter him like some medieval torture where his arms or legs actually separated and the gooey ooze inside came out? No.
That's
We never got Stretch to bleed out. Did you?
Yes, and he did bleed. He bled red. We got the neighbor kids out and four of us just pulled on that thing till we ripped one of the limbs. And it was a little shocking to see the red ooze on the inside.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
So the other thing about Christmas, and I think I sent you this. I'm looking for the tweet right now. Somebody had a receipt from the Atari in 1981, maybe. The original Atari 2600. And it was like $206 for the console. The games were like $40 each. And the kid had like three games and the console. And I think my guy Ricky Cobb at Super 70 Sports said, on this date in 1981, some kid was about to have the best fucking Christmas of his life.
Absolutely.
And they showed the handwritten ticket with the total on it. And I said to you, that is a big number, $280 plus for video games in 1981 dollars. And then I think you ran some sort of a inflation calculator on it.
I did. Yes.
And
it was about $700-$800 in today's money. Had, and I'll note this, which is a lot. I mean, but that's what consoles cost now. I mean, that's the thing is that is what, if you were to buy a new PlayStation and three games today, you're probably sitting at $500-$600 for the console and then the game. So you'd be in about the same spot. And kind of amazing, honestly, that it hasn't gone up from, it hasn't gone up as much from there. But had you put instead, Zay, had you foregone the Atari 2600 and the three games, and instead just put it in the S&P 500, would you care to guess what that would be worth now?
$300 in 1980. That is approximately 44 years of compounding. $300, mm-hmm. It'd probably be about a couple hundred grand.
It's $30,000. Just a hair under 30 grand.
Okay. Well, still.
That's it. Well, it's, which is still compared to the, yeah, compared to $300, pretty good return. And as you use the word compound, which is very important, because the compound interest is starting, it would really be starting to kick in here as we're getting into the year 40 and
sure.
year 50.
Sure. And it would start to boom right
I've
now.
I've started really rethinking some of them. I wish I could have now gone back and considered a lot of the spending that I did as a young man and went, okay, it's $50 now.
Yeah.
Would I rather have that for $50 or would I rather have, you know, whatever, $10,000 in retirement? Because you can turn, you know, when you're a young man, you can do that. When you're young, man,
I know.
Or woman, you can do that.
Right. Time is your best ally. But core memory of telling Robbie Berger that he ain't shit at Asteroids is worth the lack of $30,000 of compound interest. And
he's haunted today, and he's still getting therapy on that.
Yes, he is. So the one thing you might want to buy that is a toy, all right, is something I sent you, and you sent me back a name of a band, and that is I saw this clip for a company makes something called the Jetson One personal air vehicle. It is essentially a person-sized drone or quadcopter that can lift 250 pounds safely into the air and do all the obstacle avoidance, the hovering, and everything else, and be pretty simple to control, and only costs $128,000. You can fly it without a pilot's license after a five-day quick training course. All you need is an $8,000 deposit. It has a backup battery, a ballistic parachute, and radar that handles auto landing. There's video of these things buzzing around. They look real and not AI. I have no reason to believe that why wouldn't a company make this? Because we're getting to that point yes. of battery power and longevity and computer processing power. And we already know how to put gyros in these quadcopters and everything else. What a day and age to be living in, Church.
It's basically, you framed it up very well. It's a drone big enough to carry a person and you can just steer yourself around. Now, I feel like there's going to be nannies out there. They're like, oh, don't, you know, there's going to be collisions. People are running into each other. Don't care. Do not care. This is so much fun. I just want the drone and I want to be able to use the drone and I'll take my chances on hitting somebody else. I think this would be so much fun to have my own personal aircraft.
There it is right there, Charge. You should be able to see it right now in the,
I do see it
in our window, but yeah.
Oh, I mean, I want to race them.
Yeah, of course. But here's the problem. You cannot get your way around physics. Physics is real. And your bag of squishy blood and bones and life force juices are real and immutable. You can have all the parachutes, all of the roll bars and the cages and the auto landing, which you're seeing right now. But you fuck up and drive that too fast into a tree and it turns you upside down and drops you at 80 feet onto your head, there's a good chance you're going to die. Good chance you're going to die. Yes. With all that shit. Or into high power lines. Or into a river. Or into an oncoming buddy of yours in his $128,000 little Jetsons flying machine.
Zabe?
Yeah.
I'm ready to take my chances. That's all true. Don't care. I want my own personal drone. I want to jump in that thing. I want to race you in it. I want to set up the obstacle course. I want to set up, like, you know, all the things you have to go around. You got to hook this tree. You got to go over here. You got to go under this bridge. I want to set all that up and go do it.
Okay.
I think that would be awesome. But I don't care that I might get hurt.
Hurt? Die. You're like, I want to set up a course to go under bridges and around. Like, die. Once you elevate
die-ish. I mean, it might just be a wounding or I could just maiming. Maybe lose a limb. A maiming.
There's going to be a temptation to take it higher. Temptation to take it higher than it's rated to go. Now, it may be geofenced to not go above 500 feet.
Yeah.
But all it takes is 20 feet to kill you. People fall off roofs at 20 feet and they die. So
absolutely true. Yeah.
Or losing an arm on one of the blades, or run into a family member, or cut off a school bus as you're horsing around on the road.
Okay. Almost everything you said is true of a car. Almost all of it. There's just, but we have lines on the road. We've got rules we've decided to play by. Maybe there's going to someday be rules for my own personal drone craft, and or maybe the technology will be such that they simply won't run into each other. They won't run into a tree. That it's going to be like a Tesla. It's going to have enough AI baked into these things where it basically can't put you in a position to get hurt. It so won't run itself into stuff.
In other words, you're saying the Jetsons is indeed our future.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, you hope so.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Much like the band named We Were Promised Jetpacks. That's the name of the band. We Were Promised Jetpacks. Where did you find this band?
Well, it's a real band and they're successful. On Spotify, I'm going to pull up their followers right now. This is a band that's been around for quite a while. We Were Promised Jetpacks. They have, and this is just Spotify, mind you, they have 250,000 monthly listeners. And what a brilliant band name, We Were Promised Jetpacks. I don't know really if they're any good, if they can play their instruments or anything else, but they've been around for a while and they've got a little following. And frankly, Zabe, we were promised jetpacks. You and I grew up in an era where we thought space would be conquered by our age. We thought there'd be colonies on the moon by our age. When we were a kid, we were both post-Apollo, you know, the Apollo missions and everything. But we all thought space was there. I thought by my age, get in my 50s, half our population would be on the moon.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. None of it's happened.
This is the title from We Were Promised Jetpacks of Quiet Little Voices. Are you a fan of them?
No, I don't know anything about them.
Okay,
except they know they're a band.
All right, you know.
Not bad. I don't know.
Not terrible there. So, yeah, that's what they have out there, which is pretty mind-boggling. Of course, every day with my Tesla, I'm blown away at just how good the self-driving is getting, and I'm now getting fed via the algorithm all kinds of stuff about, you know, what Musk has said about LiDAR. I sent you that little lecture he gave once where he's like, LiDAR is for losers. LiDAR is not the future. And he explained why. He said, basically, once we solve for vision, that's the way he put it, solve for vision in the Tesla, then fully unsupervised self-driving becomes a real thing. They're actually testing it in Austin, Texas now, where they've got unsupervised robo-taxis or Teslas out on the road. They've said that in theory, you could buy a Tesla and when you're not using it, leave it in your driveway charged up, able to be summoned by the network of people who want it to come pick them up and drive them somewhere, which would be an existential threat to Uber and Lyft if it ever comes to pass.
Yeah, if you're ever short on money, you let your Tesla go be a taxi, a driverless taxi without you, and you just make money. And it does all the work. And it brings itself right back to when you're done. Now, I feel a little weird about the idea of having a stranger in the back of my car when I'm not using
disgusting. It. Disgusting.
I would never be there.
I would never allow. Now, of course, what people will do, though, is they'll invest in a small fleet. They'll invest in 5 Teslas and put them in their driveway. And so they don't care if somebody pukes in the back seat. They'll pay somebody to clean it up, and it's not really their Tesla. They just own the actual cars. It's a hell of a world.
I bet you're right.
Hell of a world.
I bet you're right about that. Now, did you see that Ford is dropping their EV truck, the F-150 Lightning, completely because of bad sales?
Yeah.
Shocking. It turns out that the people who need trucks and the towing power and the distance and all the other things, right, didn't want electric.
No, because there's a difference between just having an EV and having a Tesla. Having a Tesla is buying into the cult, if you will, or the ecosystem of everything that Tesla is doing and the head start they have in terms of self-driving versus just having a trucky truck that is plug-in. There's nothing sexy about it. Plus, they were expensive as fuck. $70,000, $80,000 vehicles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it was quite unappealing, and I think consumers are rightfully skeptical about whether or not Ford had the wherewithal and the chops and the commitment to do this. But they got pushed into it by the government, by the Biden administration. Yay, green energy. And they bragged about all this money they spent. And I have a good friend who's been on this podcast before. He's in the automotive industry, Eric Rezinkowski. Rezer told me back 3 years ago, this will be a disaster. Mm-hmm. These will be white elephants. They're going to lose their fucking shirts on this whole deal. And ring-a-ding-ding. I texted him the story and he goes, yeah, people ask me if I ever get tired of being right. Space, 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 space. He goes, space, 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 space. Nope.
Yeah. And this one, you know, listen, he might be a great car mind. I think everybody saw this happening, but nobody trusted Ford to pull this off.
Others did. A lot did. Not everybody, though. There was automotive press and magazines that said, oh, look out. Look out. Here comes Ford. They're getting in. Yeah, well, now they're getting out.
They're getting out. I think where one of the things that killed them, I think, they needed to get in for, you talked about fleets. You know, you've got a plumbing business and you got 10 trucks. You know, you needed those guys to buy in and be able to get, you needed to get some of the industrial truck business as well. Nobody wanted that stuff.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that. Okay. We got 20 questions here about the NFL as it currently stands, and we got 20 minutes to get it done. You ready?
Oh, good. Good Lord.
One,
okay.
Should the Steelers
bring it on, baby?
Should the Steelers run it back with Rodgers?
I went through the exact same thought process last night watching the game because Rodgers looked honestly great.
He looked good.
Great. You'd never know his age. If you just, you know, if you took the badge, the nameplate off the back of the jersey, you never know Aaron Rodgers' age. You'd assume he was as old as every other quarterback in the league. And he looked very, very good.
So what are you going to do?
You're going to be wondering.
I mean, Tomlin's going to finish once again, 9 wins, maybe 10. They'll host a playoff game. They'll probably lose. And then they're going to what? Run it back with now a 43-year-old Rodgers this time next year, hoping nothing else breaks on his body? I don't know, man. They're stuck in a bad spot, the Steelers are, because they're going to have to walk away from mild success, both with Rodgers this year and honestly with Tomlin. Tomlin sucks. Tomlin's ready to go, in my opinion. Did he have a great run there? Yes, he did. Is he currently one of the best coaches in the NFL? Not even close. Not by a million miles. But the media loves him for reasons that sort of elude me, but whatever. So they're going to have to walk away from a decent situation to get to something else. On to the next question. Is Aaron Glenn a pussy for, quote, firing the black man? He fired Steve Wilks, their D coordinator. And it's crazy because Steve Wilks has now been fired after 1 year at four consecutive jobs. I think Steve Wilks sucks at coaching football. I think we got a track record here.
Holy cow. I had not heard that. How about this part? 6 days earlier, Aaron Glenn had insisted that Wilks was there for the long run. And, you know, he's going to finish out the year. And six days later, gone.
Yes.
Oh, but that happens when you let Trevor Lawrence score six touchdowns on you. You have to do some internal reflection.
Yeah. Cardinals head coach fired. Panthers interim head coach fired. 49ers D coordinator fired. I think even had a stint in college as an assistant to Notre Dame. Did not last there. Question three, who's the best of the new coaches? Johnson in Chicago, Vrabel in New England, or Cohen in Jacksonville?
It's a great question without a crystal clear answer. Vrabel turned around a team that won three games, maybe four last year, and turned it into a division leading team. That counts for a ton.
All three of them are turning around 3 or 4 win teams, if I'm not mistaken. I'll look that up right now. But
yeah,
yes,
I think you're right about that. Yes. Now, Cohen, the reason Cohen should be in here and nobody's talking about him is because he's doing it with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's got the quarterback with the worst track record that he had to turn around. Caleb Williams, first pick in the draft. I guess not that necessarily matters. And Trevor Lawrence was the first pick in the draft as well. But Lawrence had been struggling as a mediocre quarterback for years. But he managed to turn that around, which seems to me to be a massive, massive win. And, you know, check mark in the win column for Liam Cohen.
Patriots, Vrabel, 4 wins. Man, Patriots, 4 wins. Yeah. Jacksonville, 4 wins. And the Bears, 5 wins. Next question.
5 wins.
Does Al Michaels and his ongoing ineptitude annoy you as much as it does me? Or many others around the NFL nowadays? Fans. Okay.
You just have to act excited. You don't have to be excited. You just have to pretend that you care about the game-winning field goal with no time on the clock. I mean, this should be...
I know.
This just rally for 5 seconds. That's it. It's not a big ask. Just get yourself to pretend you care and let the audience think you care and then check out, turn your mic off, and go home.
Yeah, not hard. What's worse, ad creep on Red Zone or uniform creep on throwbacks?
Oh, the Red Zone. I hate this. I hate everything about this, Zabe. If I'm already paying, I hate that ads have gotten so intrusive that they're into everything that we do and you can't spend your way out of it. It's impossible. Samsung refrigerators are now putting ads
on your fridge,
on the screen, on the TV. Yeah, on the screen, on the refrigerator.
Yeah, well, you're too dumb. If you bought a fridge with a screen on it, you're a moron. Congratulations. You deserve all the ads
you think
that
they deserve?
Pushed you. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Charge, did you buy a screen fridge for your new house? You did.
I'm happy to say I didn't, but I don't think nobody deserves this. Nobody deserves this.
Yes, if you bought a screen fridge, yes. As far as the Red Zone, no. They've altered the deal. Let's pray they don't alter it further. But I'm more upset about the shitty job Scott Hansen and their editors do. They just flip around randomly once the 1 o'clocks are over. It's a disaster. Those of us that lived on the Siciliano Red Zone know the difference between good and bad. The commercials make it even worse. Next question. What is one searing gripe that probably only you care about? I'll go first. The theme song for Amazon's Thursday night games is utter shit. And I will play it for you now to tell you exactly why it is. It is a droning and repetitive song that has no overarching melody that inspires or makes you feel good about watching. Here we go. TNF football theme. You ready for this piece of shit? Gonna repeat it over and again. It's the same name song. It sucks so bad. It is boring. Yeah, I said it. It's got to be just me, because I don't think anyone else gives a shit. But I'm like, that song sucks. Church, what is one searing gripe about the NFL right now that probably only you care about? And don't say instant replay or whatever, because a lot of people have a gripe about that. I'm asking you to reach deep into a little churchian picadillo that bothers you and you alone.
All right. I do get easily annoyed, and I think far, far more than most people do. But let me, because this one is top of mind right now, I'm going to mention this. I have a Toyota truck. And if I want to stream music to my truck, it's a $15 a month service. If I want to use the navigation in the truck, it's $15 a month to Toyota. If I want to use my key fob, to remote start my car, $15 a month on top of all of these. If I want to see my oil level and my tire pressure, that is an $8 subscription.
Did you know all this going into your purchase of your Toyota?
I only knew one of them, not all of them. At the time, they only had one tier, and they have now broken it into four tiers of subscriptions.
My
for Toyota. I mean, we think of Toyota as a brand that I think most people have a lot of goodwill towards.
A good, trustworthy brand. Yeah, no, what assholes. Unbelievable.
What assholes. Right, it's my car.
Sell that thing.
F off.
Sell it. All right, next up. Are you happy with just one bye per conference? They instituted this in 2020. We've had 5 years of it now. Well, yeah, 5 years, 20, 23, 4. Does it sit right with you now? I kind of yearn for two byes again. I don't know why.
Well, we let in more teams, so the thinking should be that there should be two teams that get a bye, that have earned a bye. So, yeah, I think I did like the two bye. And you're talking about playoff byes, to be clear, not like, you know, off week buys and playoff buys.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I feel like two teams have probably earned a week off, but it's a short playoff runway. So I can understand why you don't want, you know, if you got the bye, you only need two wins and you're in the Super Bowl.
All right. Next.
So I can understand getting rid of it completely. If you feel that orientation.
Do you feel sorry for Joe Burrow?
In as much as you can feel sorry for somebody who's making, I don't know, $250 million. Yes, because his shitty organization has put zero into his offensive line and the dude gets murdered all the time. He gets hurt constantly. And there's no reason that this team should have done this. I've complained to you about this before on this podcast. If you've got your franchise quarterback and you go, oh my God, we struck gold, your next drafts and offseason should just be all about protecting that guy so he can be the franchise quarterback you need to go win games, because it's a quarterback-driven league.
Yeah. I don't feel sorry for him because
he doesn't.
He had a chance to leave, and he stayed for the money. If you're too dumb not to know if you were drafted with the Bengals to get the fuck out at your first chance, and you might have to blast your way out like Kirk did with the Redskins, where you get franchise tagged twice. Eventually, it'll break the team trying to double franchise tag you, and you'll be out. You got to take the long view. No tears for Burrow. You chose to stay. What part of not understanding this organization is the cheapest, most backward one in the league, maybe more than anybody, than maybe the Raiders. So I don't feel sorry for him. Plus, he's too good looking for me to feel sorry for him. His hair is too good for me to feel sorry for him. Are announcers sugarcoating just how awful Philip Rivers was and or how dumb the idea is of him playing?
I was aghast during the game. I'm listening to the announcers going, what are you watching? This guy's barely completing four-yard passes. Nothing is more than 4 yards. And why isn't Seattle playing every defender at the line of scrimmage? If they did, they would have killed Rivers. Yes. I don't know that he can throw more than 10 yards downfield. And yet the announcers were just gushing over every completed pass at the line of scrimmage. Like, what are you talking about? That was a total free pass by them.
Jeff,
they obviously had a narrative they wanted to keep during the game. And the I don't remember who the announcing crew was, but they were staying to that narrative no matter what.
Yeah. Jeff Perlman, who's covered the NFL for a long time, went on Twitter to go, this is ridiculous. He's throwing balloons out there, and the announcers are just glossing over it like they're not even watching the same game that we're watching. And you're right, Church, because they wanted to have a narrative. They wanted to pitch it as a feel-good Hallmark story, which in a way it sort of is. And nobody wants to hear the truth anymore, or at least the networks don't want to deliver the truth. I can handle the truth. Give me the truth. I want people to go, this is the dumbest idea since they let Jeff Saturday walk off the ESPN set to coach this same team. Okay. Next, do fans and the media way overestimate the value and or ease of trading back for more picks? I asked this because I saw Boomer Esiason say breezily, oh, yeah, well, the Giants, look, they're going to have a really high pick, and they've already got a quarterback and Dart. They should just trade back and get a haul for it. They'll be in good shape with all these picks. And I'm like, okay. You assume there's going to be a quarterback someone is desperate to go up and get that's going to give you a, quote, haul, and you assume you're going to be in position to take said quarterback. And then you're assuming that your dipshit GM, who should have been fired a couple dumb moves ago, Joe Shane, is going to be able to pick the right guys. And then when you do pick guys who are good players like Abdul Carter, you got to keep them from fucking falling asleep in meetings. You're a long way from being fine. Am I yelling? I'm yelling. Your thoughts.
If you are at the very top of the draft, picks like 1, 2, 3, and it's a good quarterback draft, you can name your price to a certain degree. Vikings reportedly tried to go up to Drake May, and they were willing to give two first rounders and multiple players, two first rounders, two second rounders. If you're at the very top of the draft, quarterback needy teams will overpay. Anywhere else, trading down is not necessarily an easy proposition.
No.
And there's not always the value that you need in it.
Right. You can always trade down and you will get more, but there's no guarantee that your more is going to mean jack shit for
any better.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. What I thought.
You know, that in there. Yeah.
Next, should media members be embarrassed at being so high on the Raiders back in August? I saw where Nick Wright had the Raiders not winning the division, but getting a wild card, still had his Chiefs pick number one because he's a homer. I saw where Mina Kimes was super high on the Raiders. A lot of people were high on the Raiders. I was probably higher on the Raiders than I should have been. Should they be embarrassed now going, God, I can't believe I bought into this, because they are a non-functional team. You know how many total yards the Raiders had last week against the Eagles? Total yards. Team.
Oh, it's not going to be good. It's going to be like $1.60
75.
Oh,
70.
Jeez.
Five.
They had a negative 4-yard quarter.
They had so few possessions, the Raiders. The game went like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
I love that. I love the short game. Yes, here's what we should have known in retrospect, that Seattle had propped up Geno Smith into a quasi-functional quarterback when he wasn't. And as soon as they gave up on him, we should have known. Like, that was a sign. They gave up on Geno Smith and that he was going to be way worse the Raiders than he was with Seattle, and he was already not that good. We should have seen that part of it coming. Pete Carroll, obviously, huge mistake. I don't know how many coaches they're paying right now. They're probably paying 4 head coaches off on their deals right now.
Oh, yeah.
And that could end up being the only thing that keeps Pete Carroll's job next year, is they don't want to add another series of coaches onto their payroll.
Kenny Pickett played the whole game for the Raiders. He went 15 of 25 for 64 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. He had 4 sacks as well. That's 64 yards on 25 squeezes. That is well under 3 yards per attempt.
That's so bad.
Dog shit.
Oh, remember when we thought, here's the bigger embarrassment for me. Ashton Jeanty. I thought he was going to be great. I was like, I don't care. You know, we knew he was dropping into a bad spot. Didn't figure, you know what? The offense will just be good enough that Jeanty's so special, it won't matter. As it turns out, there is a level of awfulness surrounding a running back that even he can't, you know, I think he's a great runner, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't come together.
Next up, how many years before the Chiefs are back in the playoffs? My answer is 2. They won't get back next year with half of Mahomes. They get a half season out of Mahomes, I'm guessing.
Chiefs have a huge salary cap problem coming next year.
Kelce out.
They're,
he'll retire. Kelce's retiring. He's already washed.
That part is true, but here, get this. So they got to, here, they owe, next year, they owe Patrick Mahomes $78 million.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Jones, $45
million. Oh, yeah.
Their tackle, Juwan Taylor, $27
million. Oh, yeah.
Trey Smith, $24 million. Nick Bolton, $19 million. Jalen Moore, $19 million. Okay. Creed Humphrey, $18 million. Right. George Karlaftis, $15
million. Okay. Give me the number of years. 1, 2, 0, 3. How many years till they're back?
2.
Okay, answer is 2.
They're going to take their losses on the cap next year and be back the year after.
Okay, whose career will last longer, Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart? Dart has the benefit of being a higher draft pick, so teams always want to hang on to those guys. And I'm sure Ryan Clark will say, and he's white. You know, they love keeping the white washed up quarterbacks. But his concussions are so bad. He's been concussed in half the games he's played in so far. He's on a fast track to being out of the league. Shedeur has physical tools and traits that will remain enticing for team numbers 2 and number 3. Because I think Shedeur is a 3-team guy. No, I do. I believe he'll be on 3 teams before they're done with him. Sort of like RG3. There's always like a couple teams going, oh, you know what? I know how to fix her. Like a hot chick who's got a cocaine problem and is completely non-committed to your relationship. I can fix her. So who lasts longer? I'll say Shedeur.
Only because of the concussions. Dart's a way, way better passer. But you get the feeling he's now at the NFL level, he's been checked for concussion 5 times, including last week.
Yeah.
Sanders could be off the team as early as next year because they're going to spend, the Browns are going to spend an early first round pick. They're going to pick like 1, 2, or 3 again.
So they're going back to the well at quarterback.
They have to. They have to. Because when you don't have a quarterback, your team's non-functional. Yep. Kevin Stefanski, sadly, who I adore, is going to end up out of a job, and they're going to reboot the quarterback position for their next head coach.
Has the Lions window closed?
Oh, hell no.
No.
No. I mean, for this year, or do you mean like for this?
I mean like, the window closing. You know what that means, Charge.
No. I mean, you know, they are loaded with young talent on both sides of the ball. They're going to be very competitive for a long time. You know, Jared Goff's not that old by quarterback standards now. Amon-Ra St. Brown's like right in his prime. Jameson Williams in his prime. Gibbs is still young. You know, your defense has got Jack Campbell, young. Anzalone's young. Aiden Hutchinson, young? No way. They got young superstars. All right. They're going to be good for a long time.
Why doesn't Jordan Love tickle the media's gush button?
Ooh.
He is clearly an excellent quarterback, one of the top, let's call it 7 in the league. He's not one of the unicorns. He does not have a superpower unless you count throwing off his back foot accurately for strength and distance a superpower, which it kind of is. But he doesn't jump over and run through guys like Josh Allen. He doesn't do Mahomes-like magic. He's not Lamar fast. Why doesn't Jordan Love tickle the media's gush button?
That's a valid question. Except you called him like one of the 6 best quarterbacks, which he's not. But he's
Oh, really?
And I, when everybody's Yeah, when everybody was gushing about him throwing off the back.
What is he?
12.
12. Okay, I'm going to go find your 11, and you can look dumb on numbers 7, 8, 9, 10,
I might. You know,
11.
I might.
You got to put down your Packers hatred there, Viking boy.
Yeah, maybe. That might be filtering in. Speaking of bad announcing, when Love's throwing all these balls off the back, unbalanced, off, you know, backing up, falling away, and they get completed, and they shouldn't. They should, their passes nobody should even throw. But all people do is gush about it. I'm like, this is terrible form. That's going to catch up with you. You can't keep doing that. And the fact that they're completed is only encouraging Jordan Love to keep throwing these passes that he never should throw. I don't understand why announcers love to talk about how great he is for making those plays work, when I think that is a developmental miscue that should be trained out of him long ago.
Okay. Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Drake May, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Jordan Love, Lamar Jackson, Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers. Those are your top 11 by passer rating. You're telling me Love is 12 on that list.
Yeah, that's about
behind
yeah.
Daniel Jones, yes. Behind decrepit Aaron Rodgers, behind flash in the pan Sam Darnold, behind Jared Goff, who hasn't won shit ever.
Well,
same guy Jared as Goff, Jordan Love.
What do you mean? He won a Super Bowl.
Jared. No, he did not win that Super Bowl.
Oh, you're right. He lost a Super Bowl.
Yes.
End of a Super Bowl.
Yes, he went to it and lost it, scoring 3 points. And then they got rid of him. So you're telling me Jared Goff, greater sign Love. And you're telling me these ancient dudes, you'll take Dak Prescott over Jordan Love.
Yes. I mean, if I got to go win a game today, yes. Okay. Yes, I will.
Okay, so he's not a top 12 not top 11.
He's roughly 12. He's roughly quarterback 12.
Okay. All right. Do you care about completion percentage? Is that important to you?
Yes.
Okay.
But not terribly important, because it all depends on how far you're throwing the ball downfield.
Okay. Fair enough. Next up, you have to pick one man to plan and manage your retirement portfolio, but you can only choose between Skip Bayless or Mike Francesa.
Two of the most classically wrong sports analysts of all time.
I give you two unthinkable options.
Here's our chance to kick some ass.
They really are unthinkable options.
There you go. Well, you're thinking
who would you take
well,
here?
Hold on. I've got, narrowed your choices down to five unthinkable options. Each will cause untold misery.
I pick number 3.
You don't even want to read them first?
I was elected to lead, not to read.
Elected to lead, not to read. I would pick Francesa, hoping that he has a New York buddy or two that can at least say, hey, Mike, you don't want to deal with Zabe's portfolio. Just let me handle it. And I would get a safe withdrawal on my mutual funds and be able to live. Skip Bayless would blow the whole thing, you know, on staking Diego Pavia to, like, all kinds of, like, you'd be like, I'm putting all my money on Pavia, like you did on Johnny Manziel. Who would you choose?
I like your angle better than the one I had cooked up. So
which
I'll follow your lead on this. And
what was
we'll
your
hope
angle?
That Francesca knows somebody and he's good enough and he's disinterested enough in my portfolio to just hand it off to somebody who's actually good at it.
What was your angle?
Well, my original angle was Skip Bayless, because all he does is just shoot for the moon, right? And what, you know, making absurd statement, and maybe one out of five comes in and I get lucky and he gives me an NVIDIA. Who knows?
Okay. Is Todd Bowles' potty mouth a sign of poor leadership? Goes right to the podium after their brutal loss on Thursday night and drops fucks and shits left and right. And that didn't used to happen with coaches. At least coaches, even the great Jim Mora, who would go nuclear, made sure it was clean, you know, for the most part. Is Todd Bowles and other coaches setting a bad example by saying fucking shit at the podium? And I know I just said it right here in a podcast, so call me a hypocrite, but I'm not a coach at a podium in front of sponsors with kids and other people looking up and looking on. Charge?
Great question. I think it does. Now I never really thought about it. I think now that you mentioned it, I think it shows a certain lack of self-control and discipline that you expect in your players, but you don't have for yourself. You know, you expect your players to have self-control and you expect them to have discipline. Then you go into a setting where you're not supposed to do that. You are disincentivized to do that. The league asks you not to do that. They want to give you, they want to have YouTube clips and reels and shorts and Twitter clips and stuff. And if you're up there swearing, nobody can do that. So yes, I think there's a little something to that. It's probably detrimental to who you are.
Did you see his comments after the loss? Did you see those?
No.
I'll send you the clip. It was pretty stark. It was like, whoa. Hey, you're Todd Bowles. I thought you were the chill dude, you know, because he looks so serene on the sidelines, sort of Lovie Smith-esque, even when all hell is breaking loose out there on the field around him. Next question. Who needs a get-out-of-jail card free more? The Cardinals with Kyler Murray or the Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa? Both guys have massive contracts that are absolute anchors around their necks.
And nobody's going to trade for those guys and take the contract. If they might trade for them under a different contract, you have to absorb a bunch of it. You have to eat a lot of the contract yourself. I believe there is more. I think people think Tua is dead. They do not trust Tua whatsoever to turn his career around. I think more people will be encouraged by, and if you go back and look through tape, I think more people will be encouraged by what Kyler Murray could bring.
All right, I'm going to throw a three-way in here. Deshaun Watson. Ooh. Let's say you've got a choice this winter. Don't laugh. You got Deshaun Watson, Kyler Murray, and Tua Tagovailoa. Three guys who are not very good, have massive contracts, and a fatal flaw. Deshaun Watson, he's a scumbag. And by the way, he's coming off an Achilles. Kyler Murray loves Call of Duty more than playing quarterback. And he's tiny. and then in terms of Tua, Tua's a jellyhead. One more good kadong on his hard drive, and he's going to be out for good. So
yeah, and I think that's why Murray by default would be the most appealing out of that group. Is at least you don't have the same injury concerns, especially since this whole foot injury is all a bunch of bullshit, and he's not even hurt. And you know, we're talking about missing him for the second half of the season when it was obviously a benching for Jacoby Brissett, who turns out by the way is pretty good.
Who of the three guys do you think would try harder to save their careers with a new start?
Tua. Tua tries. Nobody thinks Tua can't.
You sure about that?
Doesn't want to win. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's it.
Dolphin fans weigh in. I think you're going to find a lot of people think that not nearly as into it as other people want him to be. Last question. If you had to choose between watching every minute of your own team's games, i.e. the Vikings, but nothing else during the regular season in the NFL or the playoffs. So in other words, if your Vikings miss the playoffs, you're not watching the playoffs. You're not watching the Super Bowl. Or you can watch everything else except your own team's games. What would you choose?
All right. So I understand I have three options here, correct?
Two, Charge. Two. Okay, either watch your team, but nothing else, or watch everything else, but not your team.
Okay, gotcha. I'd watch the other 31 teams. If you love football, I got to be able to watch all the other games. I want to watch all the other games. You'd have to be pretty casual, I think.
That's the correct call.
Very into your own team.
That is the correct call on this. Quantity over your emotional passion. If you took the other side of it, which is you can only watch your own team, and then once they made the playoffs, you could watch the playoffs, that'd be great once in a while, or maybe almost every year, depending on the franchise and the run they're having, like the Packers. But it'd be too much of a risk. And then January would be miserable. Imagine January in these winter climes with no NFL. You would literally curl up in a ball and say,
Minnesota, you don't go outside.
Well, you would die of boredom. you would die of anguish saying, what am I going to look forward to this weekend? I can't even watch the NFL playoffs.
What about hockey? I can watch hockey. I can watch basketball.
Yes, you can.
I think, you know, I think you are showing an unfair predilection for the game of football. And there are plenty of people listening right now that
I'm showing a predilection, which sounds very dirty. And that's the right word, predilection. I've got my predilection showing. It's popping right out of my pants, my predilection
it's popping
is right
out
now.
Right now.
but it is not unfair. It's not an unfair predilection. It's the proper predilection towards the National Football League.
Okay, if football suddenly didn't exist and maybe had never existed, I would love hockey. I'd love basketball. I'd glom onto those sports for the drama and especially hockey. I think hockey would be my number two.
You know, it's like people saying if cheeseburgers didn't exist, I could easily be a vegetarian. The problem is, cheeseburgers are real. And they exist in the world, and you have and laid your mouth upon one, and your life is not the same. All right, Charge, you're the best, buddy. I'll let you go. Thank you, pal. We'll see you next time.
Okay. So sounds great. Bye-bye, Zig.
For today. So, good day. Good day.
And you guys, what? Don't go.
Hey, no. Hey, don't go. No, come back, eh? Look what you did. Everybody's gone. You.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.